Thank you, Barton. Great to be with you again.
Thanks for joining us. Now, before we move on to the obvious, which I know people want to hear about, last time we talked to you, it was right before the American Health Care Act passed, correct?
That's correct. We passed it Thursday after our last discussion.
All right. And you want to tell us a little bit about some of it? You know, a lot of people have had some criticism. A lot of people have been all for it. Give us your take on the American Health Care Act.
Well, let me start with this. Let me talk about what happens if Congress does nothing. Iowa is a great example. Iowa just received news, last week, actually the day before we passed the American Health Care Act, that 94 of their 99 counties were going to have no insurance provider at all because of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as it's more commonly called. The state of Maryland received notice that its most common, most popular insurance plan under Obamacare was going to have over a 58% increase in pricing. And Virginia found out that several of its counties were going to lose their coverage. Bringing that closer to home, and looking at Texas, 70% of Texas counties have only one insurance option under Obamacare, and many of them are going to lose that option on January 1st of 2018. And so that is the crisis that the American people are facing. And so we had to do something about that. The American Health Care Act addresses this, and it does it by repealing as much of Obamacare as we can under reconciliation, which is this archaic Senate rule that prevents us from being able to do more. And then to replace as much of it as we can with patient-centered solutions that allow, that put the patient and the family and the doctor back together having a conversation about a person's health care. It also gets rid of the insurance bureaucracy and the federal government bureaucracy that's interfered with that relationship. And it's just one step of many steps that we need to go through to improve the American healthcare system in this country.
I've heard a lot of criticism, mostly from liberal people who have mentioned that the American Healthcare Act is going to take away coverage for a lot of people, and that so many people are going to die because of it. But a lot of people are saying that's just a scare tactic.
Oh, it's an absolute scare tactic, and it goes beyond the pale and how false it is. Look, I mean, some liberal's website can publish a blog that says that it does away with pre-existing conditions, but that doesn't mean it's factually correct. As a matter of fact, it is an outright lie. We have provisions to deal with folks that have pre-existing conditions or otherwise high utilizers of health care insurance. We have provisions to deal with those and do it in a much more effective way than what Obamacare did, because Obamacare destroyed the individual insurance markets. And again, I would challenge the leftists that talk about the American Health Care Act being bad to say, okay, if we did nothing, if we do what you want to do, and that's just leave Obamacare in place, then 70%, up to 70% of Texas counties are not going to have any insurance coverage whatsoever beginning January 1st of 2018. Is that what they really want? But they're pretty silent when it comes to responding to that question, because they'd rather spew their incorrect rhetoric.
Absolutely. Well, and of course, Obamacare, there's no doubt Obamacare is failing, and that costs and prices have gone, just they've skyrocketed. And so something needed to be done. This seems like something you guys have put forth that have kind of done that. I've heard recently a lot of talk about also some sort of a collective insurance idea where people kind of get together and they all pay for things. That kind of, to me, doesn't seem like a great idea, because you might have somebody who's not going to the doctor who's paying into this thing, and then somebody's going into it that going to the doctor a lot who's getting a lot out of this. That just doesn't seem like something that that seems very pragmatic, in my opinion. But that seems like something that's being put forth by people like Rand Paul, correct?
If we could set those up, as long as they're optional, I don't want to force people into that type of solution. To me, we need to make healthcare personal again and let people choose what sort of plan they want, buy the coverage they want, and feel more comfortable with the premium levels that they're going to have. Under Obamacare, it was really a one-size-fits-all, and you were forced to buy something you didn't necessarily want to buy. If somebody wants to form some sort of a collective, I'm okay with that. Because at this point in time, I think we need to try everything we can to develop solutions to deal with the crisis that Obamacare has created in the American healthcare industry.
Absolutely. And speaking of making healthcare personal again and, you know, freedom of choice, which I think is very important for the American people. How does the American Healthcare Act feel about the whole idea of, you know, if you like your doctor, you can keep it?
Well, we go back to that premise. I mean, we honor the promises that well, let me rephrase. I don't know how to say this exactly. You know, President Obama made a bunch of promises that we're going to have lower premiums, that you could keep your health care plan, that you could keep your doctor, all of which turned out to be pretty big lies. The American Health Care Act restores all of those promises so the American people can truly buy the health care coverage that they want and keep the doctors that they want.
Absolutely. All right. Well, so that's the American Healthcare Act passed last week, and that's seems like it's going to be some good news for the American people regarding healthcare and everything. Now, of course, we want to move on to the obvious. The big news, obviously, today is that Trump fired FBI Director James Comey yesterday.
He did, and I wish I knew more about this. I mean, I'd had my concerns about Director Comey for some time because of the way he handled the Hillary email investigation, first going public to say that she did all these wrongs, but he wasn't going to prosecute her, and then to you know, make statements about Huma Abedin, and then have to have some of those retracted. I couldn't figure out where he's coming from. That said, the president's firing of Director Comey, I think, was pretty clumsy. And so I'm looking forward. Today I'm going to call the contacts we have in the White House and try to get some definition as to what's going on here and to find out why it was actually done. Now, from what I understand, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, is the guy that made the recommendation. The president followed up on that. And I've got some facts to try to assemble and to try to get my arms around this. But outwardly it appears to be clumsy, and I'm trying to figure out what we need to do moving forward.
Definitely seems like...
Now, one of the things some of our constituents called for is an investigation of ties to Trump and Russia, and I want to assure our constituents and our listeners that those are ongoing, both in the Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Intelligence Committee. So nothing's changed there. Those are still ongoing investigations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Comey firing definitely seems strange. There seems to be a lot surrounding Comey that's very, very kind of strange and almost a little shady. I understand he found out about his firing while he was addressing FBI employees in Los Angeles. The news started flashing on the screen in the background, and that's how he kind of found out about it.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, well, that is definitely...
It does seem clumsy, and it reminds me, it's a little bit of the first refugee order rolled out that the president had earlier this year. I mean, I think the facts and the law were on the president's side, but the rollout was pretty much Keystone Cops. So he's had to go back and roll out a new refugee order. This is something different. You can't unring a firing of somebody.
Yeah.
You can't unring that bell, but it does seem clumsy. But I hope to get to the bottom of it soon.
Congressman Bill Flores is joining us from Washington. Is there anything else you'd like to let the American people know?
Well, I'd ask our listeners to continue to pray for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Congressman. We really appreciate it. Congressman Bill Flores joins us every Wednesday, and we'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
Very good. Look forward to it.